earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I caught that this morning early as I was reading this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul's main concern was for God to do a work in the people of God. You know, sometimes we get concerned about God doing a work on the people of God. But I believe if we can get to the point where God will do a work in the people of God, my friend, you won't have to worry about the work on the people of God. I think that will be automatic. Amen. So Paul is praying in this passage, and he was a praying man. And the Bible shows us in verse number 16 that he was praying that they would be strengthened with might. How? By His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. That's why it's important that you be right with the Holy Spirit, because He is the source. He is the channel through which the strength is going to come from God. God cannot strengthen you apart from the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? There are no strength for the believer outside of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's very important, and I preach that often, how you should be right with the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything that'll grieve Him. Don't do anything that'll quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because you're going to need the strength that He can put in your inner man, my friend, in days to come. And verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And I mentioned that this morning. How that the word dwell means to feel at home, to feel welcome. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know of one church problem that that statement right there would not cure. All problems, period. Church, individuals, home, nation, comes from people that are not full of the Spirit. I believe that. The most needed, crucial thing in our churches today is for people to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we need. We need it desperately. Very little preaching on it. Very little preaching on it, because most preachers don't even practice it. We've depended on philosophy. We've depended on our know-how and our experience and our abilities and books and so forth. And I'm not against those things if you use them properly. If you use them instead of letting them use you, that's a difference. Amen? A tool is to be used. A tool is not to use you. But thank God for the tools that we have. But we need to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him, verse 20, our text, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Boy, I'd like to have that to happen in this meeting this week. I'd like for that to be true. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto Him, or verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, this morning, I addressed the subject that I would feel impressed to deal with is there is more. There is more. There is another level. And then after that, there's yet another level. There's more levels for you and I to enjoy and to exhibit and to experience than you and I will probably ever fulfill in our whole life. If you started right now of moving up one level per day, you would never exhaust the levels that's available to you. Don't worry about getting too close. Don't worry about going too far. Don't worry about doing too much. You'll never worry about praying too much, reading the Bible too much. It just don't happen. Amen? There's more levels than you and I could ever reach. And you think about going to another level means elevation. When you go to another level, means you're higher on that next level than you were on the previous level. Amen. And seeing that you and I are heaven-bound people, and heaven is an elevated, exalted place. Thank God, people, when you get saved and you die or Jesus comes, you don't go down, you go up. So it would be good sense, I think, that if we'd already go ahead and start in that direction. That's good, isn't it? Why wouldn't anybody that's saved, why would they not want to start in a heavenward direction and start trying to gain ground with God? Amen. I think that'd be good. I think that'd be wonderful. Amen. But there is more. And I mentioned this morning how all that come about. How I was praying that, Lord, surely there's more from you for us. Surely there are, Lord. Surely what I'm seeing done in churches today is not all there are. Surely you want to save more. Surely you want your church to be fired up more. Surely you want your church to be on more mission-minded and mission-hearted. Surely you want us to be praising you more. Surely there's more from you for us. And the Lord spoke to my heart real clear. And He said, there is. There is more from me to you. But He also said, as this verse says, and shows us, there's more from you to me. God is saying, yes, I've got more for you, but you've also got more for me. And in verse 20, God attaches His more to our more. If we want more from God, then there's more to be given to God. Amen. Amen. What you're not willing to turn loose of is mastering your life. Amen. You've heard illustrations about that. But there is more for us. And I mentioned this little statement this morning, and we'll move on. But I mentioned this statement this morning that we would be insane that if we keep doing what we're doing, but expect different results. If we're going to get more, we're going to have to do more. We're going to have to be more. Amen. Amen. We can't expect it to all be on God's part. For Him to give more, for Him to do more, because He's attached His more to our more. Right here in the text, His more is this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that's His more. Our more is next. According to the power that worketh in us. There's more. If we're going to have revival this week or any time, it's going to be when those two mores get together. And when you get His more and your more together, there's going to be much. There's going to be more than can be measured. It's going to be wonderful, amen. Oh, we need more. I tell you how much we don't even have enough right now to reach our generation. We don't even have enough right now to keep our kids in church. You say we don't need no more? You say we don't need no more? We're doing plenty? I tell you what, friend, we don't even have enough to keep our young people interested in the house of God. If we don't have enough of the world to outdo us, then we don't have enough. Hey, are you listening? If we don't have enough, my friend, to even be competitive with the world for our young people, we don't have enough. I tell you what I've learned from experience, friend. If we get it hooked up with God, you stick your tongue out at what the world offers. The world don't have anything to offer, brother, to compare with what God has. Amen. Oh, we need more. You say, preacher, do we need more? I think that's pretty evident that we need more. I think it's pretty evident that we need more. When there's so much sin in the house of God, and so much defilement, and so much disinterest, and so much discouragement, and defeat, and division, and in the house of God, yes, we need more. But let me say to us all, I don't know of anything in our churches, in our homes, in our young people, that could not be addressed and conquered with more of God. Amen. There's not an issue that would be an issue if more came from God. It's the answer. Amen. Bring up your problems. Say, preacher, this is a problem. This is a problem. And let's just write a big catalog of problems. All of them would fall underneath. If God would give us more, it would take care of it. We all know that. I could preach that all night. That more from God would be the answer. It's the answer. It's the answer to churches that are emptying out. Most churches there are emptying out. Amen. There are churches right here in the Rogersville area that don't have any young people in it. All of them are old. You know what that church is? That church is facing definite death. Amen. If you don't have another generation coming on, that church is headed to the graveyard. Listen, we need God to move on these young people. I'm not satisfied with them just coming up in our youth class, our primaries and our junior and our beginner and all of that, and teen class. I'm not interested in just being here then. I want them to go on into adulthood with a love for Jesus and be in the house of God and serve God. That's what I desire. Amen. There's more. Some act like there are no more. You can tell by looking at them. You can tell by listening to them. They're acting like there are no more. Preacher, why are you so excited? There's not nothing else left. The generations before us has already exhausted it. You've read it, haven't you, preacher? You've read about D.L. Moody and C.H. Spurgeon and Charles Finney. You've read about them. You've read about them. You've read about John and Charles Wesley. You've read about the revivalists of days gone by, Billy Sunday, and you've read about that, haven't you, preacher? They've done exhausted all of it. There's nothing left for us. We're just surviving on crumbs. Do you have a crumbs faith? If you've got a crumbs faith, then that's all you're ever going to feed on. A person that's got the mentality that there are no more. Other generations has already exhausted it all. Guess what? You're not going to be expecting much. You're not going to be expecting much. A lot of people's acting like there are no more. Amen? Some act like they've already experienced it all. Amen. I want to say this. I promise you, when you get saved, it will be the best thing you've ever experienced at that point. Nothing compares with old-fashioned salvation. Nothing. I mean nothing. I'm talking about at that point. At that point in your life, nothing ever compares to that. But salvation is just the beginning. Salvation is just the launching pad. Salvation is just the start. God's got big things for you. God wants you to grow. God wants you to develop. If I would have hung around my birthday, I wouldn't be here today. Thank God for my birthday, physical birthday. But you know what? I didn't hang around there. I started eating immediately. I started growing immediately. I started maturing immediately. I started developing immediately. And here I am 47 years later. Thank God for my birthday, but that was just the start. Thank God for my birthday, but that was just the beginning. Amen. Amen. If I'd have just been born, and so I don't want to grow. I like this. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I like my birthday. You know what? I found out that there's been a whole lot of things that I've enjoyed because I had a birthday. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Praise God. Oh, I like it. Amen. Some people act like they've already experienced it all. And then other people not only act like there are no more. Some people act like they've experienced it all. But then some people act like that what they do have is killing them. If that's not true, then how else can you explain the long faces and the sad note and the sad tone of voice and all of that?
Amen. I never want to give the projection to the lost world that being saved is a killjoy. I never want to look like or even sound like that I was happier lost than I am saved. I want them to know my best day being lost, it will never compare to my worst day being saved. I'd rather be an old-fashioned Christian in the valley than be a lost sinner on the mountaintop. Yes, sir. I don't want to give no projection. I don't want to give no hint. I don't want nobody to even think that being saved is just a bunch of, you can't do this no more, sir. Amen. That's what a lot of people think salvation is anyway. Just, you can't do this no more. You can't go here no more. You can't listen to this no more. You can't wear this. Amen. Amen. And I will tell you, there are a lot of things I believe a believer cannot do and be right with God. Amen. But there's a whole lot more that we can do than what we cannot do. Amen. You need to quit whining, my friend, about what you can't do, where you can't go, and all that stuff. Amen. And get in behind the veil and start enjoying, start experiencing what, my friend, you can do. Amen. A saved person can do a lot. There's more. There's more for us. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I believe that. I'm glad I'm convinced of that in my heart. That there's more for us. I want us to look at this. Listen, there's a lot of ways we could look at it, and I'm not going to preach all night on it. But I'll just mention this. We need more, and it is available. More of His power. We need more of His power. Amen. We need more of His power. It takes His power to save. It takes His power to handle our enemies and our foes. It takes His power. Amen. Oh, we need more of His power. Have you ever been in a church service when you didn't have His power? Have you ever been in a church service when you did have? And was there a difference? We need more of His power. We need more of His presence. There's a difference of His indwelling presence and His manifest presence. We need more of His praise. He's not getting near enough attention at the house of God. He's not getting near enough adoration at the house of God. He's not getting near enough affection at the house of God. Oh, I say we need more praise. When's the last time you worshiped? I didn't say when's the last time you went to a worship service. I said when's the last time you worshiped? When you knew that there was an emotional, affectionate hookup with God, whether you was praying or reading His Bible or whatever you was doing, but my friend, there was worship. Oh, my soul, I believe the defining characteristic of a believer is worship. I believe that. I believe a person's lost will ever worship. His spirit's dead. He can't worship. His spirit needs to be quickened, made alive, regenerated, resurrected. And then the results of that is, friend, I believe it's John 4, was it John 4, 35? God is a spirit. That's why your flesh can't worship God. God is a spirit. Your flesh cannot worship God. Your flesh will never submit to God. Your flesh will never bow to God. Why? Because God is a spirit. The only hookup you could possibly have with God is through your spirit. And your spirit, if you're lost, is dead. Dead in sin. Dead in sin. And you need to be resurrected. And when He quickens you and makes you alive, then your spirit gets hooked up with His spirit. Your spirit bears witness with His spirit that you are the Son of God or a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I like that. When I got saved, listen to me. When I got saved, I used to think about how Grandma would get hooked up with God. Boy, I've seen her shout. Brother Terry, y'all met her. Wasn't she godly? Wasn't she an old-fashioned, behind the veil, living in Canaan woman? She was, full of God. She was. Amen. And influenced my life greatly. But I always wondered, why does she act that way? Why? What is it? I knew there was something. I knew it was real. But I didn't know what it was till I got saved. And when my spirit was quickened and made alive, that's what salvation is. That's why salvation cannot be by works. It don't matter how hard you work down at the mortuary, you'll never give life to a corpse. Life does not come through works. Life does not come through, my friend, any procedure of man, not any program of man. Life can only come when one that is qualified, when one that's able to give life, speak life, and say, arise, amen. The one, by the way, let me just tell who I'm talking about. The one that stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what Lazarus did, who had been dead 4 days? Come forth. Yeah, that's why salvation, Jonah 2:9 said, salvation is of the Lord. You know why? Because nobody can give life. Man can give, my friend, a lot of things. He can create machinery that can produce things. He can create jobs and he can create all this. He can do a lot of things, but he can't give life. And salvation is life being given to a dead sinner. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
And he that hath not the Son hath not life. How much simpler can you get right there than that? Oh, but when you get saved, praise God, your spirit's been resurrected. Your spirit's been regenerated. Your spirit, my friend, has been quickened, made alive. And as a result, when the Holy Ghost gets to moving, your spirit gets to moving in response. Amen. Person that never worships is never saved. What are you going to do when you get to heaven anyway? If you don't worship here, what do you plan on doing over there? Amen. I know y'all hear this much. You're about tired of it. But I like preaching it. I've already got heaven's Lord. I've already got heaven's life. That's what eternal life is. It's God's life. It's the life that I'm going to have throughout eternity. I already have it now. Hey man, I got heaven's Lord, I got heaven's life, and I know heaven's language. You want me to tell you what some of heaven's language is? Revelations, hallelujah. See, I already know some of the language over there. Hallelujah. Glory and dominion and praise be given unto Him. Let me give you some more. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So if I've already got heaven's Lord, heaven's life, and I know heaven's language, thank God. I want to tell you, why can't I enjoy the trip? Amen. There's more. Buddy, we need more praise in the house of God. Deliver me from deadness. Deliver me from it. Amen. Well, I can preach right there more, but we need more of His power, more of His presence, more of His praise, more of His purity. Amen. Most churches today, if you were to mention the term holiness or separation or sanctification, any of them terms, they'll cut you off. Amen. I like it. Are you listening? Amen. We need more of His purpose. God saved you for a purpose. And we need to be more and more involved in it. Amen. But there's more. There's more from God. There's more for us, from us to God. There needs to be more surrender from us. There needs to be more submission from us. You say, preacher, those are two and the same. No, they're different. There's a difference between surrender and submission. Let me give you an example. Most of you, some of you have heard this. This little girl and her daddy was riding down the road and she was standing up in the seat. And he told her, sit down. And she just kept standing. He said, I said, sit down. She just kept standing. About the third time, he made her sit down. And she did. She sat down. But after they went down the road just a few minutes, she looked over and said, Daddy, I'm sitting down outwardly, but I'm still standing up inwardly. She wanted him to know, I've surrendered, but I've not submitted. I surrendered outwardly and sat down, but inwardly I've not submitted because I'm still standing up. How many people's like that? I tell you, there's more from you to God. Are you willing to give your more to get His more? I tell you this, His more is bigger than your more. Yes, amen. Your more is little. His more is big.
Amen.
What a God that would attach His more to my more. What a God, Brother Williams, that would do such a thing. That God, the inexhaustible God, the inexpressible God, my friend is saying, hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Look at it there in verse number, look right here in verse 16. You say, preachers, he got more? Verse number 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Amen. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. His more's much bigger than yours. His bank's bigger than your bank. Amen. His supply's bigger than your need. Oh, yes, dear friend. His more's bigger. Why would anybody? Now, that don't make sense to me. I would get into a swap with you any day of the week if I could give you a dollar and you give me a hundred. What idiot would not do that? What complete fool would not do such a swap? You said, preacher, of course everybody would do a swap like that because that's just an absolute no-lose situation. You're giving up a little for to get a whole lot. Duh. That's what I've been preaching to you. Amen? His more's bigger than mine. I'd be glad to give up on some of my more to get some of His more. Because His more is much bigger than my more. There's more. There's more. But the key to getting more from God is you and your more. Hold on to what you got, and that's all you'll have. Hold on to what you got, and that's all you'll have. Amen. 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 We need. There's more from us concerning surrender, submission, sanctification. Amen. Lord, help us. We can preach there all night. There's more from us to Him in the area of self-denial. God help us. The only thing standing in the way of revival is not Satan. It's self. You deal with self. And you have revival. Amen! I think sometimes it'd be easier for me to deal with Satan than it would be for me to deal with self. Because you see, I hate him. But I'm kindly fond of me. Yeah, well, I wouldn't lose a bit of sleep, my friend, to shoot him. Amen. To stab him with a knife or a sword or blow him up with a bomb. Why? Because he's Satan. Not self. I kind of like self. Ephesians 5 said, no man ever yet hateth himself, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Self is killing us. The only thing hindering you from the glory of God and the fullness of God is you. Amen. You can't blame it on your neighbor and your friends. You can't blame it on the circumstances. And you can't even blame it on the Democrats. Amen. Or the Republicans. Though we'd like to. You can't even blame it on the ragheads. Are you listening? You can't blame it on them. The only thing standing between you and the power of God and the presence of God and the purpose of God, I'll tell you, it's you. Deal with self. You say, preacher, where does self need to be? On the throne? No, self needs to be on the cross. Amen. There's only one place, my friend, for self to be, to do the job, and that's crucified with Christ. Reckoned dead. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Oh, yes, friend. I'm going to tell you, a man that's nailed to a cross has no further plans of his own. That's good preaching, ain't it, Cody? You hang with me, buddy. A man crucified has no further plans of his own. Holler up that man that's being crucified. Say, hey, what's he doing tomorrow? What's going on next week? What's your plan for next year? I have no further plans. This is the end of me. A man crucified has no further plans of his own. Number two, listen to this. A man crucified never returns to his old life. Are y'all getting that? Am I the only one getting that? That crowd, my friend, that can never seemingly stay out of the sin holes and claim to be saved? I don't believe a word of it. You be identified with Him and be reckoned dead with Him and crucified with Him, nailed to a cross. The Bible says it this way, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you're living in it, that means you're not dead to it. That person, my friend, that's been an alcoholic all his life and he dies, never drinks another drop. That person, my friend, that's had all manner of problems, all manner of addictions, when he dies, has no further plans, no further desires. It's over. Over. Amen. And if you're dead to sin, buddy, you're done with it. And I'm not talking about a shackles. Well, I can't sin because I'm tied up. No, we're talking about bond slaves. We're talking about where Paul said that he was a servant of the Lord. That meant I'm a bond slave. And a bond slave was a love slave in the Old Testament. And a love slave is one that's got liberty to leave, but he loves his master so because his master purchased him. The master returned to the slave block of auction and purchased him. And my friend is good to him. And the slave is willing to say, look, master, I love you, and therefore I'm not leaving you. I love you, and thus I'm going to labor forever for you. We need some love slaves that'll love Jesus and serve Him. But a person crucified, my friend, never returns to his old life. Amen. But one thing you cannot do is crucify yourself. You may could drive one nail in, and you may get another one in, but you can't nail the third one. If you are crucified to sin, crucified with the Savior, somebody else has to do it. God has to do it. Amen. Let me just throw this out to you. Did you know that the devil's a defeated foe? You've got three enemies. Everybody know what they are? World, flesh, and devil. Let's name them. You ready? The devil was took care of 2,000 years ago on the cross. We need to be reminded of that. The world, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That leaves that third one, the flesh. And guess who's responsible for dealing with it? Us. Jesus took care of the world and the devil. You've got to take care of the flesh. That's why most of us, in fact, be honest with you, the flesh is what defeats us. You and me, nor me, will ever be of a spiritual caliber, probably like Job, that required a personal confrontation from the devil. Most of us never really gets bothered by the world. I tell you where we get our defeat. From the flesh. From the old me. Old man. If we can learn to deal with Seth the Nile, Brother Jacob, we can have revival. Amen. We can have revival. Listen, that was just some preliminary stuff. We need more. God needs more from us in the area of service. God needs more from us in the area of supplication. God needs more from us in the area of seriousness. In the area of seriousness. Let me deal with some things quickly. Let's look at verse 20. There were some other things that I wanted to say, but I want to deal with some of this. We'll be done. Verse number 20, let's look at some of the words here in this verse. Like, for instance, the word now. Now is, I call it the period of more. There's more. That's what I'm preaching on. There's more. More from God to us and more from us to God. When is the period of, when is the time frame? When is the period of more? The first word addresses it. Now. Not later. We can't afford to wait on revival. Revival is not something that we can afford to wait on. We need it now. In fact, we're already past due. We need it. It's a must. Are you listening? The period of more. The word now, my friend, suggests to us that we have a right now God. We have right now needs. Everybody in this building, I guarantee if we had the microphone capacity, pass it around, you could tell me, preach, I have this need, this need, this need. I have this need and that need and this need. You have a right now need or needs. God is a right now God. Now unto Him. You can address Him now. You can talk to Him now. He can hear you now. He can respond now. We have a right now God. I'm glad of that. Because when do I need Him? I don't need Him yesterday. We've done come through yesterday. Amen. We done come through yesterday. I don't need Him 10 years ago. I done come through there. He's already proven to be my sufficiency. He's already my satisfaction. He's already my sustenance. Amen. And my strength. When do I need Him? Tomorrow? Tomorrow may not come. Tomorrow may not even get here. Today may be this may be my last message. This might be it for me. I may be pulling out. If you get news after a while, Preacher Rack is dead, don't believe a word of it. Don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been, praise God. Amen. Not just here, but over yonder. Amen. Don't weep over me. Shout the victory. Have a time. Praise God. We'll meet again if you're saved. Amen. If I don't see you doing right after I leave, I'm going to haunt you. If you turn liberal, I'm going to haunt you. Amen. Sleep on your bedpost and make bad noises. Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved. The now is the period. Now is the period. Amen. Right now we need to do business with God. And then the second word is now unto Him. Unto Him is the person of more. Now unto Him, the person of more. Not, listen, I was looking at this verse some time ago, and that unto Him stuck out to me. You know what most of our ministries are, Brother Craddock? For Him. You know what most of our ministries are? About Him. But you know what we need more than anything? Is an unto Him. There's a difference. There's a difference. If I'm I can talk about Brother Jacob without having an unto Brother Jacob ministry. Amen. The word unto suggests that he's got my attention. The word unto means that I'm looking at him and I've got his attention. Unto him. Not for him and not even about him. But unto Him. What would that do for our singing? What would that do for the choir? What would that do for the specials if instead of singing about Him, instead of singing for Him, start singing to Him? What difference would that make? Oh, would that make a world of difference? Most singing that goes on in the average church most of all that goes on in the church is not to Him. It's not to Him. It might be for Him and it might possibly even be about Him. But is it to Him? Unto Him is the person of more. If we're going to have revival, we need to devote attention. We need to devote affection. We need to devote action to Him. He's the person of more. Get our eyes on Him. Unto Him, He is our focus. He has our attention. You know, God can't do much with you and for you unless He's got your attention. Amen. Now unto Him, and then we move on. I could say more about that. But let me move on and say, thirdly, now unto Him that is able. We're talking about, my friend, the person or the period of more, the person of more. But here we have unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or more. We're talking about the power of more. Able to do. He's able. Now unto Him that is, not was, but is able to do. Able to do. Amen. Able to do. Thank God for the performance or the power of more. He's able. That is, He's qualified. You know what the word they're able means? He can do it. Some of you need to know that tonight. We all need to know that. Things that we go through in life, we need to know He can do it. He has the power, strength, capability. He's proven Himself to be qualified. He's able. Not disabled. He's able. He's able. He's able. Thank God. And that is in the present tense, by the way. He is able. Now unto Him that is able to do. This is the performance of more. He's able to do it. That word to do means He's able to make it happen. Somebody needs to hear that. He's able to make it happen. He's able to produce it. He's able to cause it. He's able to provide it. He's able to perform it. He's able to execute it. He's able to carry it out. I like it, don't you? The performance of more. He's able to do. And then He's able, listen, not only the performance of more, but the plenty of more. He's able to do, here we go, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there's the plenty of more. Well, can we get into God's plenty? I already talked about that a little bit a while ago, about His more is bigger than our more. But that word, my friend, He's able to do exceeding. That is, He is able to go above and beyond the need. He's able to do more than. That's good, isn't it? Look at the word abundantly right quick. I'm talking about the plenty. The word plenty. Talking about the plenty of more. The word abundantly there, the word abundantly means more than's necessary. God is able to do more than is necessary. It also means to surpass. I like this. He's able to exceed the need. Boy, isn't that good? Are y'all still with me? It's hot. I guarantee you it ain't as hot as I am. I'm burning up. Are you listening? But it means to exceed the need. Amen? It means to an extent which cannot be expressed. God is able to go beyond the need. Amen. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I like that, don't you? I like that. Ask or think suggests the prayer for more. The prayer for more. Ask. If you don't ask nothing, you receive nothing. If you don't ask nothing, you don't look for nothing. If you don't look for nothing, you don't expect nothing. And if you don't expect nothing, you'll not be disappointed if you get nothing.
Right.
Ask or think. Prayer. The prayer for more. And then, here's the last thing, and I'm through. And that is, there is the prerequisite for more. According to the power that worketh in us. God said the first part of that verse is attached to the last part of that verse. According to the power that worketh. The power that worketh in us. That inner working of the Holy Spirit. That sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. As we allow Him to work in us, then it frees up God to do the exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Amen. There's more. Are we wanting more? Are we wanting more? Can I ask you a question tonight? I know you're about done. There's more. There's more. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you want more? Let me ask that. Do you want more? You want more than what you've got? You want more from God? Sure. Everybody will say, yes, preacher, we want more. Are you willing to give more of yourself? That's where it's at. And I want to ask you this. If you want more, I want to ask you a second question. I want to get specific. What kind of church do you want? Not just throw it out blanket generalization. What do you want or what more do you want? I want to ask you what kind of church you want. What kind of church do you want? Now I'm sure that when I mentioned that or asked that question, Brother Gene, people's minds started turning. Well, you know, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have a spiritual church. I'd like to have a scriptural church. Amen. I'd love to have a singing church. I'd love to have a shouting church. I'd love to have a soul winning church. I'd love to have a sin hating church. Do I need to go on? I'd love to have a sanctified church. I'd love to have a second coming church. Amen. I'd like to have a shell in the corn church. Stomp down church. What kind of church do you want? The last question is, are you willing to change? If you're not willing to change, don't expect different results. Be what you want the church to become.
The church is what we are. Does that make sense? The atmosphere is not... Listen, a spiritual atmosphere is not pumped in here with the heat pump or with the air conditioner. It's not. The atmosphere of our church comes in with us. What kind of church do you want? And are you willing to change to get it? Because the church will be what we are. Say it again. Be what you want the church to become. If you want a spiritual church, then be spiritual. If you want a sold out, sanctified, separated church, then be that. If you want it to, you want a serving church, be that. Amen. Most people today, and I'm tired of it. Listen, I'm tired. I am wore out. But I'm tired of going to churches that don't want nothing. Tired of going to churches that don't want nothing. Amen. I told them down there the other night, and I wasn't being smart at it. I told them down there in Statesville Monday night, I said, look, if you don't want nothing, please tell me. I don't want to waste 3 days of my life. I got more to do. I said, our church is booming. It's booming. It's booming. It's about to explode spiritually. I said, I don't have time to be gomming around down here 3 days to a crowd that don't want nothing. Amen. You can take it ever how you want to, but I wasn't a smart aleck saying that. Amen. When I first started out preaching, I wouldn't have never said that. I was tickled to get somewhere to preach. But now it's not that way. I'm at the point now where I have to say, sometimes I just tell people no. Look, I can't do it. What kind of church do you want, and are you willing to change? Everybody wants a spiritual preacher. Can I preach just a few minutes right here? Everybody wants a spiritual preacher, and I do. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't have a spiritual preacher. I wouldn't go to a church that had a preacher that didn't live right. I'm serious. I wouldn't have a preacher 5 minutes that didn't walk a tight line. That's why most preachers don't preach it. They don't practice it. A preacher's not going to preach what they themselves are guilty of. Amen. I want to be a spiritual preacher. And I believe everybody in here wants one. But what does a preacher want? You want a spiritual preacher? I want spiritual members. Do you have the right to expect that out of me? Nod your head like this. It won't fall off. Amen. That means yes, preacher. You want that out of me? Do I have the right to expect that out of you? Most preachers, listen, most people in church want a spiritual preacher. But they don't want to be spiritual themselves. They want a spiritual choir, but they don't want to be spiritual themselves. You know what that is? That's the same mentality as going and watching a ball game. You don't want to play, you don't want to practice, but you're hoping they practice, and you hope they know something. And you hope they can perform, so they'll give you something to watch. But after you've watched the game, you get back in your car, absolutely not changed, forget about what you saw, and hoping there'll be another game sometime soon. That's the mentality that most people have when they go to church. I'm here to watch. I'm not here to get in. I'm not here to play. I'm not here to be a part. I'm not here to participate. I'm here to watch. Let me just go ahead and bust your bubble. I am not an entertainer. I'm not a performer. I'm a preacher. And that's what most of you want. A preacher. A preacher. But I want a spiritual membership. It does something for me to see some people listening to what's being preached and practicing what's being preached. I wish I could record a 30-day period of my phone conversations. Some of the preachers that I've talked to in the last 30 days. I know I tell that a lot. Some of you think, preacher, you don't talk to them. I'm telling you, I could record them. And you know what? One of the main complaints that most preachers have, that they're so discouraged and they're so defeated, is that their preaching stays in the pulpit. It never makes it to the pew. Nobody practices and nobody responds. What we had happen in the service this morning, preachers would almost die for that in most churches. For somebody to respond to the preaching. I preach for results. I don't preach to entertain. I don't preach just to be preaching. I preach for results. I want you to move. Amen. I want you to improve. I want you to grow. Amen. And I preach to that end. I want to preach challenging messages. I want to preach convicting messages. Amen. 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 God help us. I'm so glad to be a part of it. God is doing something big around here. God, it's a growing. People's excited. I'm excited. I can't hardly stand it. Amen. And I see God doing a work like I've not seen Him do in years. And it's not just here, Miss Betty. It's in sporadic spots around. I talk to different preachers and they say, God's a moving. God's a moving here. God's a moving there. You know what He might be doing, Brother Brian? He may be getting ready to take us to the big house. You better get ready. We may be pulling out before evening, before the dark times hit. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I want more. And I know your response to that would be that you want more. And you said in the book of James for us to draw nigh to you. And you would draw nigh to us. You put ours first. You put our drawing nigh to you first. But are we willing to draw nigh to you so that you would draw nigh to us? Our more is attached to your more. We've got to have more. It's not an option. It's absolutely essential. We've got to have more. But are we willing to give more and be more, to have more? More power. More of the presence of God. Take the message, dear Father. Speak to us with it. In Jesus' name I pray.